This is Along the Way, a podcast showcasing the culture and meaning behind the For This Way, our values in action. In each episode, we will chat with people from across our firm for insights on how they bring our cultural DNA to life. These are the stories that make us one For This and that drive us to unlock the potential of all whom we serve. Without further ado, welcome to Along the Way.
Welcome to Along the Way. I'm your host, Mike Brothers. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the first of our values in action that make up what we call the For This Way, and that is be your best self. That's the be and be bold. And here to talk with me about that today is our firm's Chief People Officer, Katrina Thompson. You probably know her better as KT. So KT, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Excited to be here.
Yeah, really happy to talk about this topic with you today. Okay, so be your best self. That sounds like it could be a personal growth goal. So what does that statement have to do with our working lives and our careers?
Yeah, I love that, Mike. And I would say what I love about the statement, be your best self, is that it literally has everything to do with our careers, but also our personal lives, right? Okay. It's unique to each of us. And to me, it's very inclusive. So my version of best self is different than your version of best self and so on. And I think that that creates an invitation to sort of come as you are. It's just a naturally inclusive statement, empowering each of us to become the very best authentic version of ourselves. And I'm big on authenticity, so I really love that.
Right.
And when you think about its application to our careers, the phrase we like to use here is one size fits one. So rather than trying to build programs or career paths that force everyone to kind of do the same thing in the same way, be your best self really calls for us to have flexible and individualized career options and guidance. And it's one of those things that may seem really simple, but it's actually quite powerful.
Yeah, most of the things that are powerful are often quite simple, which is why they're powerful, right? I think that we've all experienced that.
Agreed.
I want to flip this around a little bit, though, and think about what happens when we feel like we cannot be ourselves, let alone your best self. So is there any research, anecdotal evidence? What happens to us as employees or team members in those kinds of situations?
Well, it's an awesome question. I'm really just delighted that you decided to touch on this. There is literally volumes of research on the detrimental impacts of trying to show up the way you think people want you to show up versus who you truly really are. When we can't be ourselves, it takes a toll on our self-esteem. It can negatively impact performance and productivity. It'll increase turnover and ultimately create a non-inclusive environment. And that's a lot of very bad things, right?
Yeah.
So instead, embracing this concept of best self, we're respecting the differences that make us great. We're exhibiting empathy and understanding that someone else's values, priorities, strengths, backgrounds, you name it, may not be the same as mine, and that's okay. And in fact, that's great. When we think about elevating performance, be your best self indicates that we're all in growth mode, knowing we can be better tomorrow than we are today.
Yeah, it's almost like there's a reservoir, right? Like we have a fuel tank and you have to expend some amount of energy doing some of those things, like, you know, trying to be somebody you aren't, or just playing along or whatever you want to call it. And you have to be able to have the energy left over to actually grow and excel.
100% right.
So I was working with one of our MPs, Caleb Viljanic, in the DC market recently. We were preparing for a media interview, and he started talking about human flourishing. And he said, you know, I wake up a lot talking to, or thinking about how we can set that stage for human flourishing for our people. And I thought that was interesting. I told him to lean into that because I don't think a whole lot of accountants are using that phrase, even though I think we think about that around here a lot. It's a very cool phrase. But I was thinking about that and thinking about the questions for this. And I think that when I hear him talk, when I hear you talk, it does sound like our personal work lives are connected for better, for worse, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I heard his interview, by the way. It was great. I loved it. And I really loved hearing his personal commitment to human flourishing. That's a perfect articulation of helping people become their best selves. So back to your question, I think 1,000% yes, personal and work lives are connected. The world, of course, has been all over the map on if that should be called work-life balance or life-work integration or flexibility. And there's even been plenty of debate about if it's even possible. The word I use for it is reality or life. I mean, the simple fact of the matter is most of us aren't capable of compartmentalizing to the degree that would be needed to keep work and life separate. And I think as a society, we've finally come to understand that we shouldn't. if we want to really help people flourish, using Caleb's word, we have to understand all that's important to them, not just what's important to work at work. And the beautiful thing is, when you show your commitment to people's lives and what's important to them, and it's authentic, that's going to come back to you in spades in the form of loyalty and commitment and extra work effort and all of those things to help us accomplish the important things that we do here.
Okay. So on a practical level, the firm does have some programs and benefits as part of our EVP, employee value proposition, that are designed to help us be our best selves or achieve balance or integration or whatever you want to call it. So I want to give you a chance to talk about some of those. I know this is a developing platform as well. And probably what we talk about today is not necessarily the end point, I'm going to assume.
No, I'm thrilled to highlight those, of course. First thing that certainly has to be mentioned is our employee assistance program, just referred to as an EAP. And EAPs are historically known for providing assistance when we or someone in our family is having a mental health issue. You know, maybe a child's dealing with depression, or we've got a spouse with a substance abuse issue, real problems. And that is 100% one of the purposes behind the EAP. And I hope everyone takes full advantage of that counseling aspect that's available. But our EAP is also has a full comprehensive suite of programs. And so what that means is they've got services beyond those urgent needs. They call them convenient services that can help with things like elder care resources or debt management. They can even help people with college and university research if their kids are getting ready to go off to college, and then probably help them with the counseling of being an empty nester. Went through that recently myself. But they've got stress management resources. That's just naming a few of the robust self-service options that they've got. Really a wealth of information, and I encourage everyone to check it out. In addition to that, we recently rolled out our lifestyle spending account.
Yep.
A super flexible benefit that really embraces the whole be your best self concept. You get to choose what additional benefits are important to you. Maybe it's a massage to help somebody manage stress, or maybe you want to have someone come in and do a deep clean of your house because you've got a major project coming up, but your mother-in-law's coming this weekend.
Or, you know, not stressful at all.
Exactly. Not stressful at all. And for others, it might be pet care because their four-legged family members are critically important to them. But you get the idea. It meets you where you are and recognizes that we all value and prioritize different things.
Yeah.
And I do want to put a final plug on our upcoming wellness program. We're going to be launching that in May, and that's focused on both physical and mental health. And it'll provide incentives and rewards that encourages all of us to proactively manage both those elements of our overall health.
Okay, great. So this podcast is going to go live in May. And so for that, or, you know, may have already seen it, but if you haven't, look for it. So that's going to be an important piece. I love that lifestyle spending one too. I know for me that Spotify playlist, for example, is a big part of my mental health and, you know, how I get work done and how I relax and after work. So that's awesome.
I love that example. Perfect.
Okay. So I was thinking about what I wanted to ask, and there was a topic that jumped out to me as I look through our DNA on this topic, and that's the idea of setting high expectations for yourself. And I think you probably think a lot about expectations in your role, given the fact that expectations are a part of, you know, job descriptions, reviews, and those kinds of things. But I'd wondered, how does it go beyond that? And how do you, thinking about wanting your advice on how you set a high bar for yourself and maybe why that's important for us to think about that and hold ourselves accountable in that way?
Another really great question. And you're right. I think it goes back to what I mentioned earlier about the fact that be your best self really demands us to continually improve and have high expectations of ourselves to grow and develop. Of course, that does show up in our formal programs like performance reviews and goal setting and competencies. I mean, you know this from working here, Mike. It's just the fabric of who we collectively are at Forbis.
Mm-hmm.
We're a firm that values high performance and high accountability, and we take pride in that. We don't shy away from it. And when we think about how we serve our clients with our unmatched client experience framework, I think that aligns perfectly to those expectations. I honestly use the same framework when I think about setting expectations for me, for myself. My clients are all the amazing partners and team members at Forbis. I consider our awesome people team one of my clients. And I have a responsibility to show up as my best self and to be responsive, to listen and learn, and hold a high bar for the HR team, right? To be adding value to the organization. So when you think about that, the best way I know to do that is through authenticity and transparency. Those are just my own personal core values. And at the end of the day, I need to, you need to, we all need to be able to look in the mirror and know when I did my best, but also acknowledge when, you know, maybe I fell short a little bit on that. Mm-hmm. Dust myself off, figure out what I need to learn from that experience, and then grow from it. I think the bottom line is it doesn't matter what your role is, whether you're brand new to your career or you're the highest level of senior leadership, there's always room to improve. And yeah. I think embracing that is what Be Your Best Self is all about.
Well, and that transparency piece, I think, is really important. I don't think you get there without that. And what I've found mm-hmm. is that the more transparent I am with others, and maybe just frankly, another word I have used in these kinds of situations is vulnerable.
Yes.
That it allows other people to help you get better. But you can't do that if you're not being authentic and transparent. So you have to kind of come clean, be vulnerable, and like you said, dust yourself off. And it does result, I think, in improvement.
100% agree. We also like to talk about giving grace too, right? I mean,
right.
You know, the team member that struggled, yeah. dropped a ball, well, help them figure out how to pick up and dust off. And
right.
we help ourselves become better by just helping others do the same thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to be transparent with somebody if I don't think they're going to give me grace. It's not a good right.
Or if I don't trust them and all those things. Yeah.
Another thing I like to think about right now too is that as we are setting these expectations, I mean, we have a chance to set a high bar together as we're writing the first chapters of our story as a firm, right? So we probably no better time to set some expectations than up front.
Yeah, exciting.
So is there anything else you want to mention on this topic, KT?
Well, I do have one more thing, and you probably will not be surprised to hear me say this, because anybody who knows me knows I'm really obsessive about self-care. I think that's a huge component of being our best selves is managing stress, building resilience, prioritizing mental and physical health. Those are all critical components to being our best self. So I encourage everyone to give yourselves permission to do that. And I say permission because we don't take it as seriously as we should. There's absolutely a direct correlation to how you show up at work and in your personal life when you do this. And so for all those reasons, to me, self-care is not selfish. That's a little cliche, but it's not selfish. It's a must.
Yeah, good. All right. That's a great note to end it on. Well, KT, I've really appreciated you taking the time to chat with us. And thank you all for joining us on the show. We'll be back next month. And until then, onward and forward.
Thank you for listening to Along the Way, featuring conversations about our purpose, mission, vision, and values in action at Forbis. New episodes are produced each month. If you have an idea for a person or topic to be featured, email us at communication@forbis.com. Please join us again for more in-depth discussions about helping those we serve unlock their full potential. Until our next episode, onward and forward.